Well, I invite you to take your insert with me this morning, if you have that available, or a Bible, even the Pew Bible, if you want to grab that to access in just a few minutes here as we begin. We've been spending some time, focusing on what should matter most to us as it relates to our journey of faith. The things that we should be really focusing on in our walk with God. We have a vision chart, like they have at the eye doctor's office. Literally, we have a vision chart. It's right on the back wall. And our vision is this: more and better disciples. And again, I want to keep saying that so that eventually you get so sick of it, you remember it. But that's our vision chart for us as a church and for you as individual followers of Christ. More and better disciples is our vision. And in that process of becoming a better disciple, we've identified a few things that we should be focusing on, and we've called them lenses. There's lenses that we should be looking through that are required to bring this vision of more and better disciples into focus. The first lens we talked about was pursuing spiritual maturity. So I put that in your insert again just to remind you of blank, just to bring that to mind. Number one is, the first lens is to pursue spiritual maturity. It's about growing your faith. Because the growth of our faith doesn't just happen. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could offer you this pill, take it once a day, and wow, you're just going to grow spiritually. Two things would happen. First of all, you wouldn't come to church, and secondly, I'd be very rich. But that's not the way it works. The Bible says you have to train yourself to godliness. So we're to grow our faith. You and I will become better disciples if you prepare the lens, or the prescription for this lens, in the following ways. There's some ways I gave you a couple weeks ago. By investing in consistent Sunday worship, that will help you pursue spiritual maturity. Self-feeding on God's Word. I hope this isn't your only meal, because you're going to be hungry during the week. Self-feeding on God's Word. Generosity, contentment, having the right attitude in trials will also help you in your maturity. We talked about the four ables of maturity. Changeable, correctable, teachable, accountable. I remembered them. If you have that, you'll become more mature. And we talked about that a step of maturity for some of you needs to be becoming a member of this church or getting baptized. That's awesome. These are things that make up the prescription for the lens of pursuing spiritual maturity. You'll become a better disciple if you pursue these things. Secondly, the second lens was connect with other believers. We're talking about supporting your faith. Connect with other believers and support your faith. We're not meant to make this or take this or live this or just kind of grow this faith by ourselves. We need other people, other believers with us. In order to become a better disciple, you need to be living in connection and community with other followers of Christ. This happens for us best in, you know what I'm going to say, community groups, small groups. And I want to commend you. You have made life a little more busy for Pastor Rex about having conversations about small groups. And if you missed that message last week about the importance of connecting with other believers, you can go back and listen to it. And if you do, you'll hear me talk about that. You need to have one of two conversations if you absolutely don't like small groups. First of all, have a conversation with God and hash that out with Him. And then if you need more details about the groups, have the conversation with Pastor Rex and he'll get back to you. Because we believe it's really, really important to do this, as part of becoming a better disciple. And don't leave this out. Don't leave this lens out. You're going to be out of focus if you just try to pursue spiritual maturity and you don't connect with other believers. And I can't wait to hear about new groups that are going to be formed and new people that are going to come into new groups and existing groups. I can't wait to hear about that. This is going to be awesome. And I already know there's some people that are going to try. Good for you. That'd be great. So those are the first two lenses that we looked at to become a better disciple. Now it's time to get back in the eye exam chair. That phoropter thing that comes off the crazy lens there. There's a machine there. There we go. So you're going to get back in the eye exam machine with the phoropter to bring into focus better disciples. And your vision and my vision, as far as your literal eye vision, is pretty important, isn't it? Pretty important to you? How much more should our spiritual vision be important to us? So we want to get it right. It's not acceptable to go to the eye doctor and the eye doctor say, well, I think I got it right. I think it's okay. And well, everything's still kind of blurry. Ah, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Well, what about driving down the road? Do your best. That wouldn't be acceptable. And when it comes to our spiritual growth and becoming a better disciple, don't we want to get the vision right? If we do, we're pursuing spiritual maturity. We're connecting with other believers. Lens number three to become a better disciple: serve others unselfishly. Exercise your faith. Use your faith. Serve others unselfishly. Exercise your faith. For our purposes this morning, this is how we're going to understand this lens. This is the prescription that we will write for this lens. We're going to interact with this topic: the four most important questions to answer about serving in the church. Some of you like that right from the beginning, because now you know, wow, if once we get to four, we're done. Okay. Some of you like numbers because you can work your way through. But the four most important questions to answer about serving in the church, that's going to make up the prescription for this lens. Now, before we answer these questions, I want to give you just some preliminary thoughts to think about, get you thinking about serving. These are not in your insert, not on the screen, but just to get you thinking about serving. And just take them with a heart of grace. First of all, first thing to think about: attending is not serving. They are not equal. I am so glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. It would be really difficult to speak and preach to an empty room. I'm glad you're here. But being is not the same thing as doing. Receiving is not the same thing as giving. So attending is not the same thing as serving. So keep attending, but understand there's a little bit of a difference. Secondly, while several people in our church serve outside of our church with other ministries, that's awesome, but it's not a replacement for serving in the church. You can do both, and you should do both. So what I'm saying is, if you're like, well, I serve, but everything I do is outside of the local church, outside of Bible Baptist Church of Sodas, you might want to rethink that, because if everybody did that, we wouldn't have Bible Baptist Church of Sodas. It'd be very difficult. So I commend you if you're doing that, but don't forget about the church itself, and it should not replace that. Number three, I recognize that we have many people who serve other people in the church informally. It's not on some service list. Nobody knows about it, and for that I say thank you. I say thank you. I understand that a lot of stuff is happening, you know, under the radar, and that's awesome. And then one final observation, or just observation, is this. Even though we strongly encourage you to think about church membership, most of our serving opportunities do not require membership. So if you're sitting here going, well, I can't serve, not a member, good news! It's not true! And we have serving opportunities for men and women and students. Well, I'm only in middle school. I can't serve. Yes, you can. We will find a way. So don't let those things discourage you from thinking about serving. So let's go. We're going to go right to the four questions. Whether you're ready or not, here we go. Four most important questions to answer about serving in the church. And before I answer them, I want to say this, one more thing. When I say serving in the church, I really mean Bible Baptist Church. That's what I'm talking about. For most of you, that's what I'm talking about. So it's just like, oh, I serve in the church of my home. Okay, we can talk about that. No, I'm talking about local church, Bible Baptist Church. Here's the first question that we need to answer. Why should I serve in the church? Why? Why is this even a message? Why is this even one of the lens? Why should I serve in the church? I am going to invite you to take your pew Bible with me and take your regular Bibles if you have your Bible with you. It's not a regular Bible, the Bible you brought with you. There are page numbers in the insert. Let me answer the question, then take you to a passage. Why should I serve in the church? Here's the first way to answer that. Serving in the church honors God's design for ministry. Write it down. Serving in the church honors God's design for ministry. That's why we should serve in the church. So taking your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Going to be looking at verses 11 and 12. It's 815 in your pew Bible. I encourage you to use either one of those that you have access to. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting with verse number 11, the Apostle Paul instructing churches, instructing leaders. Verse 11. For Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers to do all the work of the ministry. Oh, wait. That's my footnote down here. Okay, so he gave the pastors and teachers to do what? Verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. As a pastor, one of my God-given responsibilities is to equip you for service. What does that mean? Equip means to train, to enable, to encourage, and occasionally, like today, challenge. I'm the player coach on the field. I'm not just the coach. I'm the player coach on the field, so I'm going to lead by example. I hope you see that. Rex and I try to serve and lead by example. So I'm on the field as a player coach, and you're up in the stands going, hi, hot dog. I need a hot dog here. And I'm saying, get out of the stands. Come down on the field. Yeah, but that looks like a lot of work. I know. But if you get out of the stands and stop eating the hot dog and get on the field, you're going to get into better shape spiritually. That's God's design for ministry. Do you see that? That is God's design for ministry. I'm supposed to equip you folks for the work of the ministry. This verse makes it clear, absolutely clear to me. These verses make it clear to me that the way that we honor God in ministry is by honoring the design he has set up for ministry. And this is what it looks like. The body of Christ, the local church, Bible Baptist Church, was never designed by God to be served by just a few people. Just a few people serving. That's not how it's supposed to work. Each one of us who are engaged in attending here should be thinking about how can I serve here? Why? Because you're honoring God's design. And if I can put it a little bit more bluntly to you, if we decide not to serve in the local church, we're basically saying to God, I don't like your idea. I have a better idea about how to serve in the church. I have a better design. I think what the better design is, I'm going to let other people do it. That doesn't honor God's design for ministry. So that's one of the reasons why we should serve in the church. Here's a second reason why we should serve in the church. Serving in the church makes an eternal difference. Makes an eternal difference. And I went ahead, didn't I, Rick? No, I didn't. Okay, good for me. I thought I went ahead. See these? I write my notes very too small. All right, see. Serving the church makes an eternal difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to turn to this passage with me. 1 Corinthians 15. Just a couple pages back, if you left your Bible open. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, page 802. Why should I serve in the local church? Well, there are some eternal ramifications. Let me read verse 58. You read it in your Bible or look at it on the screen, whatever works for you, but 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, followers of Christ, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor, your service, and the Lord is not in what? Vain. It's not meaningless. And I've read this verse, I've heard this verse countless times. But for the first time this week, this is what struck me. Leading up to verse 58, all of 1 Corinthians 15 is Paul giving this lengthy argument about the reality of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that if we're in Christ, we will also have a bodily, literal resurrection future. Amen for that? You're not just going to rot in the ground. You're going to have a bodily resurrection. And so at the end of this treatise on the reality of the resurrection, Paul sticks in this verse and says, listen, what you do now in service for the Lord is not in vain. Why? Because it doesn't end here. Wow. Why should I serve in the church? Because it's going to outlive me. It has an eternal perspective, an eternal difference that's being made. And I have discovered, and I think this is true, serving really is in vogue today. It is. In our culture, serving is. I mean, jobs have these community service days where the workers come in and they like to do that. Schools have community service days and all these things take place. And sometimes whole communities have, hey, we're going to clean up the community. And people come and do this. They really do. A lot of people volunteer. That's really pretty, in today is to volunteer. But I love those things. Those are great. Those are great opportunities. But I'm here to tell you, those kinds of things without the spiritual component will not last. But what you do to invest in the church will last. It will last. But I'm in the nursery. What does that have to do with eternity? Well, you watch the parents, or you not the parents, you watch the child so the parents can go to that service or go to that class and learn more about Jesus Christ and become greater in their response to Christ and grow in their faith and do other things and have an impact. And you make that happen. You allow that to happen. How about you watch the child of some parents who don't know Christ and because of their interaction with a service or some other thing, they come to faith in Christ because you're watching their kids. Does that put a different spin on nursery? Sure does. Does it make a difference? Absolutely. Will you always know? Absolutely not. Does it matter if you are a greeter? Yes. Does it matter what kind of greeter you are? Yes. The first 10 minutes of a visit to a church, people decide whether they're going to come back. So if you greet in a way that wants them to come back, maybe they're going to plug in and start doing things for eternity that are going to be impacted by what you did at that moment. Like, wow, I never thought about that. You work in Awana, you're a teacher, working out in the parking lot, you're in a leadership position, whatever it is, you investing in serving makes an eternal difference. It really does. And the thing is, don't get caught up on what you don't know. Because that'll discourage. Don't do that. I spent many years as a youth pastor. I have no idea the impact I had on these young people. I don't even remember their names. Some of them come up and see me, you know, it's 20 years later. You remember me? Absolutely not. See, the problem is, over the years, I've had to try to remember dozens of names of kids. They've only had to remember one youth pastor name. That's not fair. I'm just like, you're Bill, you're Bill, you're Bill, you're Bill, you're Bill. Okay, you just help me out here. But that's not my worry. That's not my motivation. Why should I serve in the church? Because of eternal difference that could be made. On Thursday, Valentine's Day, a lot of you made cookies to allow what happened on Thursday to take place for our church. On Valentine's Day, we delivered these heart-shaped platters to over 50 businesses and service departments in SOTUS. And inside each one, there was a track that talked about the gospel, and some had information about our church. Do I know what God's going to do with that particular information? No. But here's what I'm telling you. Was that worth an investment? Absolutely. Because if I was to take those same people that went and delivered and said, you're just going to go to 50 businesses and knock on the door with nothing in your hand and tell them you're from a church, it would not have gone well. But over 50 businesses allowed us with open arms and smiling faces and happy hearts to say, oh, come on in. One place, they brought the platter and the people started to cry. And it wasn't because they were, not enough cookies. They were so overwhelmed. We also delivered real big platters to all the schools in SOTUS, the bus garage, and the district office. The next day, I got a text from somebody from the district office thanking us for the cookies. You say, well, you know, cookies don't save people. You're right. The gospel does, but the gospel usually takes place in the connection of relationships. So investing in that service could make an eternal difference, and I'm going to let God work on that. So that's why we serve, because it's more than that. It's more than just us. And the thing is, I love the fact that the Bible teaches two aspects of the eternal difference. Not only will you have an impact on people for eternity, but also the Bible talks about this thing called rewards. Do you know that you can have rewards in heaven? And the rewards are related to your service. It has nothing to do with the gospel. The Bible talks about rewards. And they're directly related to how we invest in serving. So that would be a reason why we serve. Here's a third reason why we serve in the church. Serving in the church is a lifelong process. Yes, it is. Lifelong. And no hinted or veiled meaning here. When I say lifelong, it would be as long as you live. Just want to rephrase that for you. Serving in the church is a lifelong practice. Why do I serve? Because, folks, I'm still alive. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn there with me. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Pick up in verse 6 in just a moment. Second Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse number 6. Here's what Paul says. For I'm already poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. It's close to the end for him. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. There's so much that could be said about these two verses, so powerful, but here's what I want you to think about as it relates to serving. It is pretty clear to me that Paul is ready to pack up his serving here on earth for one reason and one reason alone. He knows he's going to die. That's the only reason. He doesn't say, listen, I'm already poured out like a drink offering. I'm kind of tired. I've got myself a special spot on the island. I'm going there. I've got a little hut I'm going to live in. I'll occasionally write you, you know, let me know if you're going to visit. But that's where I'm going to live out the rest of my days. No, here's the reason why I can say I have finished the race, because it's the end of my life. Serving is a lifelong process, practice for us as believers. That's why we do it. That's why, with confidence and boldness and encouragement, I could say to every single person in this room, no matter what your age is, what your season of life is, you can still serve, and it's why you serve, because you're still here. My serving focus may change. It probably will down the road. I can picture myself in, you know, maybe 20, 30 years, if the Lord allows me to continue to teach, but I might be, you know, in a different setting. We may be all in our walkers because of my bad knees, and we're all just kind of sharing, whatever. But listen, I don't ever want to be, you know what, I'm done, but I'm not done. I mean, I'm still alive, but I'm done. No, I don't want to ever be done. Pastor Rick Warren said this, "Faithful servants never retire. You can retire from your career, but you will never retire from serving God." Wow. And every once in a while, either directly or subtly, I will hear this from followers of Christ about serving. Well, I've done my time. And I want to say, oh, I'm sorry that serving was a punishment. I've been in prison for long enough. I've done my time. Let somebody else serve. No, serving isn't a punishment. It's a privilege. In that way, I'm going to say to you, I'm still doing my time. As a matter of fact, I got a life sentence. You got a life sentence for serving. And the most direct way to do that is in the local church. So that's why we should serve. Question number two, this will be quicker than number one. Question number two we need to answer about serving is, how should I serve? The reason why is very important. It's very biblical. Then there's this question, how should I serve in the church? And I want to focus on two things, but I want to take you to one passage, Colossians chapter 3. And I would encourage you to turn there and maybe even write in your Bibles next to these two verses, the words we're going to be talking about in just a moment. Colossians chapter 3, answering the question, how should I serve in the church? How is it done? I know why I should, but then how? Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, the primary context, because I want to be a faithful Bible teacher, the primary context of these verses is when Paul challenges his readers that if you are laborers, even slaves working for a master, you need to do your best and be faithful with that and honor God on the human level, even when they're not looking. I get it. But these principles here are applicable to the idea of serving in the church. They absolutely are. And there are two words that jump out as far as concepts from these verses that I want to share you about how to serve in the church. The first one is this. The first one is our method. Our method. What's the method we should use for serving in the church? And I put it right there. Go ahead, Rick. Serve the best you can. That's the method. If you underline or circle right in your Bible in verse 23, you should be underlining the phrase that says, work at it with all your heart. Strive for excellence when you serve in the church. Jesus and his church do not deserve the leftovers. Do the best you can. Do the best you can. That's the method. I think you might be a little bit concerned if Rex and I just kind of went down a different path, and if we invited you to a meeting or we prepared to teach or preach or other things, and you show up and like, you know, not really ready. Not really sure what I'm going to even talk about. Just going to talk. I've got my Reader's Digest. I've got my iPad. I'm just open. I'm going to CNN News. And oh, you're here for a meeting? Yeah, we don't really know. Did I say lunch was provided? I didn't feel like getting lunch. I didn't feel like getting it for you. Oh, okay. Now, some of you would be gracious on the outside, but on the inside, I'd be like, what? It was just too much service to get the lunch. I know I told you, but whatever. So, you know, I take the crumbs. No. Does it really matter how you greet, how you teach, how you lead worship, how you park cars, how you work in the nursery? Does it really matter? Yes. It really matters. Does it show up? Does it matter? Listen to me. If you have been asked to serve, does it really matter if you show up? Listen to me. If you sign up to serve, does it matter if you show up? Nobody's answering me. Does it matter if you show up? Yes, because you would be amazed over the many years of being here in other church ministries, people sign up, I will serve, I will be, I'm not there. Did I get the text? Did you email? Did you call? And in the back of their mind, maybe they're thinking this, and I don't ever want you to think this. Well, don't worry, it's just church. They'll figure it out. No, I'm going to show up because it's church, and I'm going to do the best I can. And how about showing up on time to serve? Oh, Pastor Jay. All right, fine. Over the next 3 weeks, I'd like you to show up late every day for work. Repeatedly. Even after encouragement and special notes from your boss, just show up late for work for 3 weeks. But don't come, you know, complaining to me when you don't have a job. But we say, well, no, the church, okay, that's just the church. It's okay. They don't care. We do care. Why? Well, look at Colossians 3. What does it say? Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart. Do the best you can. Your service in the church will never be perfect, but it does deserve the best you can. Here's the second thing about how to serve. Not only method, but also the motive. The motive is to serve for God's glory. The end of verse 24, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is God you are serving. That's how we serve. And the method is do the best you can, but you do the best you can for God. So the idea is, and don't worry about getting a big head, just say to God be the glory. If you put the time in and you serve well and people say, hey, thanks, that was awesome, say, you know what, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. I mean, some of you, you think, well, I don't ever want that to be that way, so I just don't serve that hard. You know, I say I kind of serve mediocre, and then people will never say, hey, that was good. No, don't worry about that. Serve to the best you can. And when they say good job, say, to God be the glory. This requires humility and the ability to transfer kind of the praise where it belongs. I love what Chuck Swindoll said about serving. He said, humility in serving is not caring about who gets the credit, but who gets the glory. And this verse makes it clear, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. People serve. Listen, people serve for all sorts of reasons. People serve to make themselves feel good. I get it. People serve to make themselves look good. I get it. People serve because they like how it makes other people serve. I get it. But ultimately, how we should serve because we want to bring God glory. God glory. So that's the method and the motive. Because when you serve well and lives are changed, people come to faith in Christ and they grow in their walk and lives are changed. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Third question we need to answer about serving. Where should I serve in the church? I know why. I know how. Where should I serve in the church? This question is often answered in a church setting by taking you to passages in the Bible that talk about giftedness, about different spiritual gifts. That might be new to some of you that might be, yes, I've heard about that before. And I get it, and those are great passages, but for my purpose today, I don't want to take you to the giftedness passages, I don't want to do that. I want to look at the where question from three different angles, just uniquely today, as you think about where you should serve in the church. Here's the first kind of perspective I want you to think about. Learn to serve consistently, not just occasionally. Where should I serve in the church? Look to serve consistently, not just occasionally. Here's what I'm talking about. Just pastor to people. Just listening. Some of the people in our church, because of the ministry that they're in, serve on a weekly basis. Not everybody can do that, and we don't need everybody to serve every week. But that would be pretty consistent, I would say, right? Some people serve once a month because of the ministry they're in. Some serve once a quarter. Some serve once to twice a year. Like they pick one event and that's it. All I'm saying is, as you're thinking about where to serve, if you're only kind of looking at one to two times a year, you might want to add a little bit more. Don't give up that one or two times, but maybe think of something else. Does it have to be every week? No. But thinking about, I want to serve more consistently in my walk, not just occasionally. Here's an example, and I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but I like to be really practical. In your mind, if serving in the church, Bible Baptist Church of SOTUS, is four dozen cookies on February 14th once a year, I say, thank you for the cookies, but we probably would like you to do a little bit more, if you can. So, you're like, that's it. No cookies for him next year. I'm trying to be nice here. So, look for ways to serve consistently, not just occasionally. Here's a second way. Look to deepen your service experience. Pastor Rex and I have been talking about this a lot. Here's what I mean, and again, I'm hoping I say this the right way. I'm trying. We have awesome greeters. We have lots of greeters. Greeting is kind of an entry-level service opportunity where people relatively new to church can even be a greeter. We love that. We have lots of greeters. But eventually, we need to move some of the greeters to some other serving areas, maybe some more responsibility, because otherwise, we end up with so many greeters that we say to people, yeah, you get to greet once every 3 months. And so we'd like to move some people from greeting to maybe some other responsibilities. And here's what I'm saying. If you're greeting for 3 years, we would like to encourage you to graduate from greeting to maybe something else. Really? Yeah. Are we going to force you to do that? No. Because here's the thing. Eventually, somebody moves from maybe greeting to this, or being a nursery worker, to whatever. They move from place to place, leadership positions. But deepen your responsibility. Deepen your experience. I mean, we would love to hear this conversation. If you came to Pastor Rex and myself and said, listen, I'm a greeter, but I'm only on once every 3 months. I want to stay a greeter, but can you give me some more stuff? I need some more responsibility. Where can I serve in a greater capacity or a deeper capacity? We'd love that conversation. Absolutely. Because we're looking for that. Here's a third way to look at where I should serve in the church. Look for ways to serve strategically. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts here, even though you have one or two. If you're saved, do you have a spiritual gift? Here's what I mean by serving strategically. Whether you want to call it a gift or not, I really call it this. Your talents and your treasure. Look for ways to strategically leverage those things to serve. So if God has given you a talent, look for ways in the church to use it. Don't be the person who sits and says, well, I'll wait for them to come find me. You might be the diamond in the rough. Do I know all the talents and treasure that you have? Absolutely not. Would I love to have a conversation about those things? Yes. But use it strategically. We try to leverage this. We have a soccer camp that we do once a year. We've done it for a few years now. We started that. One of the reasons why we started that is because I like soccer. Sorry, it's very selfish. But I also knew that in our church, God had given some people in our church who also love soccer and actually had the ability to coach it. That's strategic use of your gifts, of your talents. And if you're like, well, I don't know if they have a place for my talents or my treasure, then have a conversation. But here's another way that you can serve strategically. Use serving for mentoring. Use serving for mentoring to bless someone else. On Thursday, I thought of this last night, a beautiful illustration of this. On Thursday, a homeschool mom from our church came, brought one of her kids to the cookie drop, and on purpose brought one of her kids to deliver the cookies with her. What just happened? She strategically chose to mentor in serving. Hey, we got dads out here. Dad, you got some sons that are in the church? Hey, grab your son. Talk to me first so I can connect you with Bill Judwear. Grab a son. Grab a vest. Be a parking lot attendant. He'll love it. He'll love it. And he may just ask, Dad, what are we doing? And he said, we're serving God today, son. Is that strategic? And you're like, Pastor Jay, you don't know my son. Cars are going to be crashing. Oh, you'll deal with it. It'll be okay. But look for ways to serve strategically. That's where we should serve. That answers that question. Now, here's the last question. I'm going to wrap it up here. Do I serve in the church? Do I serve in the church? That is the last question. Yikes. Here's the transition. If the answer is yes, I say thank you. Absolutely appreciate and value your service. But you're not done. If you say yes, then you should probably take this message and do a couple things. One would be evaluate how you serve. Am I doing my best? And who am I doing it for? So give that some thought. And then think about where. Maybe God is going to move you into some deeper responsibility or more consistent serving. So that's what you would look at. If the answer is no, Pastor Jay, if I'm really honest, I would say that I really don't serve. Well, in your bulletin, there's an insert that everybody received that has a list of all the serving opportunities, that at least that we could come up with. There's many in there. I would say if you're not serving, look at those first. Give some thought to them about maybe where you would want to serve. And then, based on last week, since you'll know the word, if you're really not serving, the next step is a conversation. Now, I'm not going to have you write it down on a card, and you can contact the church office to begin with. So I told Rex I wouldn't send everybody to him again today. So, but bottom line, I don't know how else to say it, folks. I don't. If you're a part of this church and you don't serve, you need to honestly answer the question, why don't I do this? And am I willing to have that conversation? It's really what it is. And we will do our best to plug you into the ministry in a way that would be honoring to God. Final thoughts. Why is this important? Because when it comes to the vision, when it comes to the vision of more and better disciples, you and I need the lens of serving. Serving helps us become better disciples. Flip that. Better disciples serve. Better disciples, growing disciples serve, because you not only exercise and support your faith, you also, or not only grow your faith and support it, you exercise it, you use it. And a phrase that I like to state every once in a while, and it relates to serving, is this. When it comes to serving others in the church, in our church, you don't have to. You get to. You don't have to. You get to. And the Lord bless you as you do that. Why don't you stand with me? Marty's going to close us in prayer.